If you've ever been the victim of a scam, you know how upsetting it can be.
I want to buy 8 hot dogs and 8 hot dog buns to go with them. But no one sells 8 hot dog buns. They only sell 12 hot dog buns. So I end up paying for 4 buns I don't need. So I am removing the superfluous buns. You want to know why? Because some big shot over at the Wiener Company got together with some big shot over at the Bun Company and decided to rip off the American public. Well, they're not ripping off this nitwit anymore.
Stay tuned for advice on avoiding common scams homeowners face. It's the Rosie on the House Show.
And a great big Arizona good morning to you all. A little bit of an exciting morning, but you're tuned in to Rosie on the House. We take all of the intergalactic interferences of radio and generators and air conditioning, and we fix them. That's what we do.
Fly across town at record speed.
Yeah, in the broadcast rescue vehicle. We've made it. We're back in the studio. We're here to answer any question you might have about your house, home, castle, or cabin. In the 10 o'clock hour, we're structured to drill down on a particular topic deeper than we ordinarily go. And the topic for today are scams and frauds that are very prevalent out there by people who are trying to get into your pocket and relieve you of money that they don't deserve. So we're going to talk about the most common home improvement scams and frauds that are out there. So stay tuned. This isn't a show you're going to want to miss. Romy's out at the University of Phoenix Stadium for the Maricopa County Home and Garden Show. We'll reach out to him occasionally during the next hour and check in and see how the crowds are shaping up. It opens now at 10 o'clock. If you've got any project you'd like to try and get done, the ideas are there under one roof at the University of Phoenix Stadium. Now, Jennifer, you have done a ton of research on this topic of fraud and scams.
I have, and it's not just as a homeowner, not just things that pertain to your home, but just as an individual living in this society, you're just a target. You are a target, and we're going to teach you how not to be. And so the definition of fraud, if we get technical, the attempts that are made to deceive with promises of good services or financial benefits that do not exist.
Hmm.
So, you know what? After I finished my research, I just wanted to crawl in a hole and not ever come out again. There's so much. And you or, you know, all of our wonderful Arizona homeowners, you don't think like a crook. So you're not anticipating and you're not looking, and we can get blindsided. So we are going to try to inform you of all the different areas so you'll be aware, but I have a little acronym for you. So no matter what you're doing in life, if you'll run it through this filter, you won't have to worry about getting hit. So the word is CON, C-O-N.
Okay.
Clever, huh?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Very good.
So C is contact. You do the contacting. Do not deal with people who contact you by telephone, door to door, walk into the neighborhood. You do the contacting. O, only deal with those you have researched and checked out. Do not take anybody's word. Okay. And N, never believe in something that seems too good to be true.
Con. 3 simple letters, acronym for protecting yourself. It's a mindset that you can adopt without becoming paranoid.
Or cynical or angry. Just pay attention.
And that's what we're here for, is to remove the anxiety that these kind of exposures can have. You know, one of the things that I tell people and warn people about is, if it is advertised as something too good to be true, then your little inner alarms ought to go off. It just, don't think that you're the exception, that yes, it is too good to be true, but I'm going to jump in on this boat and I'm going to take advantage of it and everything's going to be okay.
Well, I spoke with Jana at our bank and she had taken a class on fraud. And I said, Jana, why do people fall for that? And she said, you know what? They all have that little inner voice that told them something probably wasn't quite right, but they needed it or wanted it to be true so bad that they ignored it. So you've got the inner thing, little inner voice. Listen to it.
You know, we got a lot of emails about people wanting us to double check estimates and things like that. Here's one reason an email came to us this week on this. Rosie, we had an air conditioning unit installed 3 years ago. It has never worked properly. It's worse this year. So we called the company out. The service technician arrived, says it might be the TXV. Okay, that's a thermal expansion valve, okay? whatever that is. And they will warranty the part, but not the labor. He wants to charge us $1,500 to $1,800 for the labor. Is that reasonable? Thanks for your time and your response. So I had to call our air conditioning contractors. I talked to Brad Porter, Integrity Air Conditioning. I said, Brad, what do you feel? What's wrong here? He said, well, there's a couple things wrong here. One, virtually every good air conditioning contractor is going to warranty the labor. You should check your contract. You should have a labor and material warranty for at least 5 years, a material warranty for as long as 10 years. Many manufacturers are running it out 10 years. So you shouldn't even have to be exposed to a labor charge in this case. And a thermal expansion valve labor exchange is about half what this homeowner's being quoted. So they didn't buy right. And they're not being treated right. The name of the air conditioning company isn't named on this. I'm going to contact this homeowner. I've got their name, their address, and their phone number. I'm going to get the name of the contractor. And it may just be somebody that we have to add to our little secret blacklist because they didn't give them the warranty that they should have. And they're certainly not treating them right now that a part has gone bad. So that's why we're here, to fill in for you, to make sure you don't get cheated. They contacted us by emailing us at rosieonthehouse.com. We're there every single day of the week to answer questions you might have and forward to us on email. We're covering fraud today.
You know, we don't publish that blacklist, and we don't talk about companies
no,
we don't like.
Right.
We only talk about those that we have screened.
Right.
And if you want to be safe, then you use somebody we've used. Don't. So that's how it works. But we don't talk about them.
It is unfortunate how many phone calls and inquiries we get at the office. Rosie, I use company XYZ, and I'm not getting the service that I think I deserve, or I think I'm getting cheated. What can you do about it? Well, I can't do anything about it. Okay, if they're not Rosie certified, there's nothing I can do about it. Now, one of the areas that we've been exposed to a lot of particular fraud lately is in the mortgage industry. So I reached out to my mortgage expert, Mr. Harold Perkins.
And our partner.
At Galaxy Lending. And I want to bring him into the conversation and talk to him a little bit about the areas homeowners have to be careful when they're shopping mortgages, and why is shopping mortgages become the arduous task that it is. Harold, good morning. Thanks for joining us on Saturday morning.
Good morning, guys. How are
you? Good morning.
Very good. Hey, let's talk about this increase in paperwork. Seems like applying for a mortgage right now is unbelievable mountains of signatures and paperwork and verifying everything.
It is. And if last time you did financing, last time you took a loan, if it was 6, 7, 8 years ago, you probably remember it as not really having to provide any paperwork. back in those days, you pretty much just needed a pulse. And you were qualified, and so things have definitely turned from there. And a lot of the reason for it is for a lot of it was fraud, but kind of going the other way as the consumers maybe overstating their income on their application, maybe overstating their employment history, those kinds of things. And so things have tightened up, and we're required now to actually verify that there's sufficient income to support the payments and verify it, double check it, triple check it through employment verification, pay stubs, W-2s, tax returns. Basically, we're gonna know everything we could possibly want to know about you and then some.
Yeah, I bet you are. Funny how it got to the place that it got. It was absolutely insane. Now, how about as a consumer, what do I have to be worried about unscrupulous mortgage companies?
The biggest thing, the best tool that the consumer has is you've got to get in writing from your lender an itemized list of what your costs and fees are going to be. And the crazy thing is the way the forms are now, the way the good faith estimate is and the regulation, we're not actually required to give you an itemized list of what your fees and costs are going to be, just a summary of the total cost that doesn't even speak to who's paying for what, just a general, broad, overall summary. So in good practice, though, and for the consumer, you've got to request an itemized list. We used to call it a good faith estimate. Now it's called a fees worksheet or anything that will give you in detail, itemizing line by line, every single fee that you're going to pay for. And any reputable lender is going to provide that to you without question. Most of them will do it without you even asking for it because it's just the best practice. And so there are some out there that won't. And so you've got to, if you haven't gotten your itemized list of what your closing costs and fees are going to be, absolutely request that, demand it.
Harold, how early in the process should you see that? Because we get a lot of complaints at the office about I thought I was closing at this. I went in for signatures and I was like in this corner where nothing was as even near what the best faith statement was. I mean, how soon should you see that itemized list?
It should be the first thing.
It's
number one. It's the once you've made your application, and once you've provided your documentation to your lender, then they have all the information that we need in order to prepare that list accurately and prepare those fees accurately. It should be one of the very first things, and then that's your opportunity right in the beginning to maybe compare it to different lenders if you want to get a second opinion or third or however many it takes. And at the closing is not the time to find out that the rate's going to be different or the costs are going to be different, because at that point you've either got to just close it and take it, or you've got to walk away from the deal. And if you're buying a house, maybe walking away is not a good option. You might lose your deposit. There's a lot of bad things that can happen there. So at the closing is not the time. It's got to be the very first thing.
All right. And today, how are rates looking today for someone trying to close a conventional 30-year? What range would we be looking at?
Rates are still incredibly low. On your average, of course, everything is qualifying dependent, but you're still going to find yourself in the low fours for a 30-year fixed. 15 years, you're getting yourself in the low threes. 15-year rates are excellent. Of course, credit and income and qualifying all affect what the rate might be.
Fantastic. Well, Harold, we certainly appreciate you joining us. Owner of Galaxy Lending Group, if people wanted to get a hold of you, how would they do that?
602-595-1233 or galaxylg.com.
That's Harold Perkins of the Rosie Certified Galaxy Lending Group. We'll be back right after this short break.